Blog Talk Radio.
It's so important, people of God, to get into the very presence of God. Nothing else matters now. In fact, I want you to find yourself right in the Holy of Holies. I see His presence. I'm in His presence. While I'm there thanking Him, I know that I have a right. Whatever I need, He will supply. I believe tonight somebody just wants Him to open up the windows of heaven for you. Let it rain. Send down your blessings, Lord. I just need you to move in this place tonight. I just need you to move in this place tonight. He's doing it right now. Hallelujah. Open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Somebody say it tonight.
Open the floodgates of
feel the rain. I feel the rain. I feel the rain. Anybody feel the rain? Anybody in this place, you feel the rain?
I feel the rain.
Is there anybody in here, you feel the rain?
Yeah. I feel the rain.
I feel the rain. Maybe you need to look at somebody and tell them, it's raining.
It's raining.
It's raining.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Open up the floodgates of heaven. What is it that you want? And you should be able to receive something just from hearing the word, just from getting in the spirit. Just send your spirit up to receive the blessings. What is it that you need? The floodgates of heaven is just open for you right now. And it's raining. It's raining down whatever you need. You're healing. Let it saturate you right now. Oh, just being delivered from lying. It's raining. See, let it saturate you right now. Be delivered. Whatever it is that you're looking for, just that closer relationship. This is your time. It's raining. The floodgates of heaven are open just for you. It's raining. It is raining. Well, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You have the right. You have the right to receive whatever you need from the Lord. You have the right. It's raining. It's raining. Hallelujah. It is raining. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is I, Evangelist Bond Dimas. Hallelujah. And I just thank God just for just receiving. Oh, I open up my arms. I'm so glad that the floodgates of heaven is raining down on me today. Hallelujah. It's raining down on your household today. Hallelujah. I don't care how far you are from your sisters, your brothers, your nieces, your nephew, whoever you're in prayer for. Oh, hallelujah. But it's raining down on them right now. Just call out their name. Call out their situation. And say, I give it over to you, Jesus. The floodgates of heaven are open. And I want you, this situation, to receive your rain. Hallelujah. I know the doctor said it wasn't no use. Said it was nothing else they could do. Oh, but why don't we give it over to the doctor of all doctors, to our Creator? He knows every muscle, every tendon, every blood vessel, every vein, every artery. He knows all about it. He developed. He put it together. He created. It's raining. This is your opportunity. It's up to you. Will you take advantage of it? It's raining. Come on. This is it. There's your time. There's no time like the present. It's raining. Hallelujah. The guest call-in number is 1-646-652-4916. Again, 646-652-4916. I know it's early in the morning, but it's a lot of people up moving around doing all kind of things. And God said his word is good all times of the day and night. So if you're listening in the archive, it's just for you right now at this time. Hallelujah. If you're rising up to start your morning, it is just for you right now, this time, this morning. 646-652-4916. You can reach me, Evangelist Von Dumas, at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You need a Bible? Someone said, are you the Bible lady? And that's all they put in the email. Are you the Bible lady? Well, here's my address. I need a couple of Bibles. I need one for myself. And I have someone that I want to bless with the Bible. Could you pray over your Bibles before you send it to me? I always pray over the Bibles before I send them out. I also write a little dedication in each Bible just for you to hold on to, just for you to look back on and see exactly when you started with this journey. Hallelujah. You need a Bible, it's free of charge. I do the mailing. I do it all. All I need is you to send me an email address with your request. And you're promising your heart that you're going to start to dig into the Bible, that you're going to taste and see that the Lord is good. And you're not just going to read, but you're going to ask God for understanding. And then you're not just going to get the understanding, but you're going to step out on faith and begin to make a change in your life. And you're going to live and walk like a Christian. And day by day, you're going to receive his new mercies, and his grace is right there for you each and every day. Evangelist Von Dumas. You can reach me, walkwithmegod@aol.com. You do have the right to live a better life. You have the right to receive and be saturated with God's anointing. Hallelujah. Psalms 51 is going to be our scripture for tonight. Psalms 51. Then the Tanakh, the Old Testament. Verse 1 reads, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Hallelujah. Behold, verse 5 says, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Hallelujah. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall shew forth thy praise. For there desireth not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good and thou pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shall thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with the burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then thou shalt offer bullock upon thine offering. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Psalms 51. We come to you, Jesus, with open hearts, sincere hearts. Dear Father, we're so glad to be in your presence. Dear Father, we appreciate your anointing so much. We thank you, Father, for your tender mercies. We thank you, Jesus, for forgiving us for our sins, removing our transgressions from against us, turning your heart not away from us, Jesus, but leading us closer to you. I thank you for your beautiful word. I thank you for each and every listener. Dear Father, wherever they may be and whenever they're listening, dear Father, look in their circumstances right now. Oh, I ask of thee, Father, look into their circumstances. Dear Father, the things that only you can heal, the things that you can only fix, direct their hearts and minds, dear Father, towards righteousness. Dear Father, be within their homes as they travel, as they make important decisions, dear Father. Dear Father, someone is deciding to separate, dear Father. Let it be in peace, dear Father. Dear Father, work around the situations, dear Father, that are unworkable. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for hearing our prayers. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for extending your arm of mercy and healing towards us, for just comforting us, Jesus, when we're lonely. In the midst of our grieving, dear Father, just being that comfort. We thank you, Jesus, that when we leave here that we can be present with you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. As we learn your ways, I ask you to just use us as your vessels. Open us up. If you find anything that shouldn't be, just take it out, Father, and then just replace it with your strength. Replace it with your anointing. Replace it with your wisdom. Replace it with your knowledge, that we may run and tell us some sinner about Jesus Christ, that they may come and you can save their hearts and they be converted unto you. Dear Father, I just step back. I just bow down and I just move aside. And we invite you now to come and take control of this ministry, Tri-Anointed Ministries, of this ministry that you can teach your people thy ways, your ways, that you can show your people thy ways, your ways. And in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we will run and continue to tell. With every breath of our body, we will continue to praise. And then we will worship you always and forevermore. In the mighty name of Jesus, we love you and thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for what you're doing right now. And I thank you for what you've already done. Amen. Come on in, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus, anointing spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Open up the floodgates of heaven and let it rain. You have a right. You have a right. I don't care if you're incarcerated inside of your home and you've been abused. You have a right. I don't care if you're inside of a prison right now. You still have a right. Wherever you're hearing this at, or wherever you're hearing it and you're going to deliver it on, you have a right. Have you ever wondered just what are your rights as a Christian? Are you demanding your rights as a Christian once you find out what they are? But somebody says, I'm just new at this. I've just given my life over to Christ. Now, what are my rights? I knew what my rights were in the world. What are my rights? Hallelujah. Hear the word of the Lord. In our country, we have just celebrated Memorial Day. And no other country on earth offers its citizens the rights that we Americans take for granted every day. The first 10 commandments to the Constitution, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution list our Bill of Rights. Among those Bill of Rights are the rights to free speech, the right against unlawful search and seizure, and the right to trial by jury. See, we have the right to vote and the right to worship. Those rights were purchased by the blood of men who fought and died for them. Most Americans not only claim those rights, but can you agree with me that most Americans, we demand those rights? Yet so often the same people who claim their American rights haven't even bothered to find out what rights accomplish citizenship in the kingdom of God. Now, if you're one of those people, let me give you a news flash. God will not be outdone by the United States government. Everything our earthly government offers us, God provides, and even more. See, the Bible says that the government is on Jesus' shoulders. As Christians, we should never be caught wallowing in our circumstances because our scriptural right has been purchased by his blood. See, you won't benefit from rights if you don't even know what you have. You have the right. But once you search the scriptures and then you discover your rights, you've still got to do a little bit more. Now you've got to claim them. Well, some people say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian woman. I'm a Christian man. What are your rights? How do you find out your rights? You have to search the scriptures. So to claim that you're saying, you can't claim it unless you find it. You have to search the scriptures to find your Christian rights. And then you have to claim, lay claim to it. Understanding? See, I've never searched for gold. I've never searched for gold, but I've heard how it's done. Now, finding the gold isn't enough. Once you search it out, you still have got to go to the right office, and you've got to file a claim for that gold that you found. Now, if someone challenges the claim, you've got to stand up on your legal rights and you've got to fight for that claim, for the gold that you have found. Likewise, before you ever live a victorious Christian life, you've got to stake your claim to your rights and you've got to fight for them. A Jewish priest once said that the most amazing thing, I thought it was amazing, he said that he didn't take the word of God literally. I mean, the man gave his whole life to the priesthood. That's pretty literal, isn't it? Can you imagine giving your life or a concept that you don't believe is the literal truth? It's sad. It's really sad. But that kind of thing happens all the time. That's why you see graveyards with more life than some churches, you know? And there's only one thing to do for them there is to resurrect them. Hallelujah. And then sometimes you hear different pastors, and they're speaking negative of their congregation. And they'll say, you know, I don't like them and they don't like me. And you know, you can do what you want to. I don't know how you're going to preach to these people. I can't get anything across to them. Hallelujah. What do you do in a situation like that? You pray. You pray. And with sincere prayer, the pastor can be born again. And everyone in the church can be born again. See, a pastor cannot try to pastor a church without walking in the rights and the benefits that God has provided for him. That's why they become so miserable. They haven't even tapped into the most basic right, eternal life through new birth. See, the Bible says in Hosea 4 and 6, he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I know you hear that, but do you understand that? Can you relate that to yourself? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. It says, I also reject thee. Lack of knowledge about what, you may ask? Lack of knowledge about your rights. Lack of knowledge about your privileges. You will never grasp your rights if you don't understand why they are yours. Why are they yours? Let's just go back a little bit. Let's go back. Again, you have the right. Let's see, why are they yours? How did you obtain these rights? Our rights originated in the garden. I said we was going back. That's going back, huh? Eons ago. Let's go on back. Eons ago, when God created the angels. Oh, this is so important. If you're taking notes right now, just take it slow. I'll come back in the archive and just listen to it again and get your notes. But I want you to hear this. When God created the angels, Lucifer was the prince of the morning. We all know that, right? Lucifer, he worshiped the Lord. He walked with Michael and Gabriel. And he played music from the tabernacle God formed in him. The angels were innumerable. And they sang and they glorified God. All heaven and earth were in perfect state. Wow. All the heavens and the earth were in a perfect state. Now that is until iniquity was found in Lucifer. Do you know what great sin he committed? The Bible says that he sowed discord among the angels. That means he flapped his lip and he caused a third of the angels to fall. We, as Christians, need to stop and think before we sow discord anywhere, in our homes, in the workplace, and especially in our churches. God doesn't take it lightly. Let's just stop a minute. Let's say, God, forgive me for any discord that I have sown in my home, in my workplace, and especially in your church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sisters, you have a right. You have a right. Let's go and learn a little bit more about your rights. Remember, the call-in number is 646-652-4916. I am your host, Evangelist Von Dumas. Hallelujah. Lucifer ascended into heaven to bring destruction to God's kingdom. They had a great war, and Jesus said in Luke 10:18, he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now, if you look into the book of Revelations, you'll find that the lightning that proceeded from the throne is the anointing. When Lucifer got booted from heaven, God stripped him of his anointing. That's the price that you're always paid for discord. It'll cost you the anointing. You do not want to be separated from the anointing. So the next time that you're just saying, well, that's just the way I am. God knows my heart. I'm going to say it anyway. I will do this anyway. That means you're letting your flesh just fly and rule. But you got to remember, God is without sin. So the flesh has to, it has to die daily. And you have to take up and connect with the Holy Spirit to guide you into his righteousness. If not, if you are led by the flesh, which is sin, then you will lose your anointing. You separate yourself from the anointing. Let's read that one more time. It said, Luke 10:18, it said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Hallelujah. Now, we just learned again in Revelation that the lightning that proceeded from the throne is the anointing. Lucifer had lost, stripped, been stripped from his anointing. And that's the price you'll pay for your discord, sisters and brothers. Think about it. You cannot afford to be separated from his anointing. It keeps you from heartache. It keeps you from diseases. It keeps you from walking right in the midst of something that could kill you, destroy your kids. You need to be covered by the anointing. See, Lucifer became spiritually dead, full of malice, hatred, and the father of lies. He became deflaming everything God created. He began deflaming everything, including you, especially you. How many people do you see walking around claiming to be of God, claiming to be of Christ? Hallelujah. But they're spiritually dead. They're full of malice, full of hatred, full of lies, full of deceit. Thus they've been stripped of the anointing. Get right, sisters. Get right, brothers. Now is the time. Now is the time. Hallelujah. Let's continue to learn the word of God, that it may strengthen us and make us closer to him. Hear now the word of God. Adam was the smartest, most beautiful man who ever lived. God gave him power. God gave him dominion over everything he created. Adam ruled the stars. Think about it. He ruled the sun, the planet, the universe, the galaxies, and planet Earth. Eve ruled and reigned with him. I want you to understand that God did not look over his shoulder, checking on them to make sure that they did everything right. He let them do exactly what they wanted to do. And then in the cool of the day, the word says, he showed up to walk and talk with his creation. When they committed high treason through sin, he continued to love them. But the wages of sin is death. You can be forgiven of your sins, but you still have to pay the cost of that sin. You still, there are consequences that come with that sin. Hallelujah. There are consequences that come with your sins. So when they committed the high treason through sin, it brought three judgments into the Garden of Eden. Three judgments was brought into the Garden of Eden. One judgment came upon the snake. One upon the woman. And one upon the man. Let's take a look at those three judgments. Now, when they committed those sins, in those days, the serpent could walk, and it had legs. But God said because the serpent listened to Satan, it would eat dust the rest of its life. That judgment is still into effect today, sisters and brothers. Snakes still crawl on their bellies, is that right? And all the animal kingdom came under the curse because of that sin. Now then God looked at Eve and he said, I'm looking out of Genesis 3 and 16 now. He said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thou desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over you. So in other words, not only would the woman's greatest blessings of bearing children be painful to her, but she'll also live her life desiring to be equal with her husband, but he would rule over her. See, this curse has been seen throughout history. Inequality for women began with sin. Before it, man and woman lived in harmony. After it, they did not, plain and simple. And today's uphill battle for women's rights still rage in many parts of the earth. Yet Christ's sacrifice over 2,000 years ago on the cross, good news, brought salvation from the curse for Christian men and women. See, it's a way out of the distortion of our relationship towards one another that was brought on by sin's entrance into the earth. Galatians 3 and 28 tells us that through Christ we are all equal. When it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Jesus Christ. Ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Okay, so we spoke about the snake, and we spoke about the judgment on Eve. So what about Adam? What about Adam? Well, God told Adam, he said, Genesis 3:17-19 explains that, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, then thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thickets shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Again, Genesis 3:17-19. Okay, judgment against the man. Now, let's break it down a little bit. You see, evangelist, I'm not for sure exactly what that is, what the judgment actually was for the man. I think I got the one with the serpent, and we have the one for Eve. Tell me a little bit more about the judgment, how it affected Adam and today. Glad you asked. For man, the curse was also very harsh. See, the ground, which was what Adam tended, was cursed. In other words, Adam's job now would be much more difficult, and his occupation would cause him to sweat and work all the days of his life. Now, when Jesus cursed the ground, thorns and thickets came up. See, the Bible teaches us that even nature groans and travails to be back to its original state. That's in Romans 8:22. It tells us that even nature groans and travails to be brought back to its original state. That's why Jesus wore a crown of thorns. It wasn't by accident, but it was by design. See, Jesus came to reverse the entire curse. He came to set us free, that we would have a life and have it more abundantly. So Jesus came to reverse the entire curse, including the curse of the ground. Hallelujah. So that's why he wore a crown of thorns. It wasn't by accident. That's not all. He also redeemed the animal kingdom. Remember when we were speaking of the judgment on the snake? And we said that all of the animal kingdom came under the curse because of the sin. Well, he also redeemed the animal kingdom. Because of Jesus, they didn't have to sacrifice any more lambs, no more sacrificial pigeons, didn't have to sacrifice any more doves or calves or cattle. He redeemed them all. And then last but not least, Jesus redeemed all mankind from the curse of the law. You see, God loved man so much that he sent his son to die a cruel death on the cross. But that death was paying the price of sin for all mankind. Think about Adam a minute. Did God tell him that when he ate of the forbidden fruit that he would die? Okay, now we know that God wasn't talking about a physical death, because Adam lived physically for 930 years. But he died spiritually that day in the garden. He died spiritually. He was cut off from the life of God that may have sustained him in that body for eternity. Hallelujah, for eternity. But he was cut off. He's spiritually dead. Yet Adam was still so full of the power of God in his body that it took sin, it took sickness, it took demons, diseases, for Lucifer, and it took Lucifer hundreds of years to actually kill him. See, the day that Adam sinned, he handed over his rights. This is so serious for us to take notice of. Because many times we just sin, and we just say, I'm just going to ask for forgiveness. Or we just sin, and we say, everybody does it. Or we just sin, and we just said, you know, this is 2010. This is 2009. This is 2008. We've been blaming it on the years forever. Everybody, things change now. Things change. Everybody does it. Hallelujah. Let's just get it together, because it's important to really understand what we're doing when we're sinning, how it affects us when we're sinning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our sins. We look back and we think about the knowledge. We think about the things that we think that we know. And we never really put it together is how God is looking at this in us. How God is tying all of this here back to us. What God has given up to try to make sure that we come back to him. See, God has a plan to get the planet Earth back legally. So when Adam sinned again, he handed over all of his rights, all of his dominion over the earth, over the planets, over the animals, and the galaxy. He handed it all over to Lucifer. Now God has a plan to get the planet Earth back legally, like it was once under Adam. Now if you think about it, when Satan tempted Jesus, he said, all these kingdoms I freely give you. Jesus didn't contend with the devil about that, because he knew that Satan legally owned them, because Adam had gave it over to him. So he didn't contend with the devil about that. That's what made the temptation real. See, Satan was offering Jesus what he legally possessed at that time, which was earth. But Jesus refused to compromise. He went to the cross and took on himself all the sins of the world. Then he gave his life. And when he died, he still was busy working on your behalf. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. And when he gave his life, he went to hell and beat the devil on his own turf. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Beat the devil on his own turf. The second Adam. You said the second Adam? Evangelist, who is the second Adam? The second Adam, Jesus. He did what the first Adam should have done. He took dominion over the devil, and he legally took back the rights for mankind to be united with God in this earth. And that's a good place to just say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's say it one more time. The second Adam, which is our Christ Jesus, he did what the first Adam should have done. See, he took dominion over the devil, and he legally took back the right for mankind to be united with God in this earth. So that's why the devil has been put in place, has been kicked out of ranks. It's just like some bully takes something from you, and you try, and you know, you look now and you see what you've done, and he's got it. Or he talked you out of it, more so than just took it. He talked you out of it, and you gave it over to him. So now it's his. But then you have your big brothers or your big sister or your mom or your strong dad goes and demands to that child's parents that it is given back unto you. And once you have it back, now you can continue with what the purpose of it that you had it given to you to start. Well, that's the same thing here. When the first Adam sinned, he handed over all of the things that he had dominion over, and it was legally Satan's. God had a plan to get it back. So he came and he sent his only begotten son. And his son came and refused temptation from the enemy. And he went and he gave of his life. And he went to hell and he beat the devil on his own turf. And he took dominion over the devil. And he legally took back your right to be united with God in this earth. While we're here now, right now, in this earth, you have a right to be united with God. Jesus has already gave his life for you to have that right. So you ask Evangelist Bonnell, why hasn't the devil left me alone? I hear a lot of people ask that question. I can tell you why. Because he's still ruling. He's still reigning over anyone who doesn't know Jesus. He has the legal right to sell them into slavery. He has the legal right to get them on drugs, to bring them divorce and famine. He has the right to steal, kill, and destroy anyone who does not know Jesus. Because you're not under the blood if you do not know Jesus. Hallelujah. But he doesn't have the right to bring any of those curses on a believer. He does not have the right to bring any of those curses on a believer. Because Jesus has set us free. Hallelujah. And he has taken back what you deserve, so that you can be connected back to your Father right now, right here and now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven, but right here and now, we can be connected and united as one spirit with our Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So he doesn't have the right to rule and abide and reign over a believer. See, that's why it's crucial that you know your scriptural bill of rights. Let's look at one of your scriptural bill of rights. In John, this is Big John, 14:12-14, and it reads, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do." Hallelujah. I'm just going to go one more time. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me." So you say that you're a Christian. So you say that you believe, because when you say that you're a Christian, that's what you're saying, that you believe. Well, the word tells us that if you say that you believe in him, then the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, if you shall ask anything, he tells you again, in my name, I will do it. I will do it. You want to be set free from whatever your situation is? He said, if you ask in my name, I will do it. I will do it. If you do the works as he does, and even greater, and you ask in my name, he said, I will do it. I will do it. See, the first thing that I want you to notice about the passage is that Jesus always, what, glorified the Father. Now, if that was important for him to glorify the Father, then the body of Christ, the church, should be about the same business. So how do we glorify the Father? How do we glorify the Father? By doing the same things that Jesus did. He promised us that the works that he did, we would do, and greater. Have you done anything greater than Jesus lately? It's time for you to understand your rights. It's time for you to understand your privileges. And it's time for you to start claiming them. Hallelujah. Remember, you got to search the scriptures. Hallelujah. So then once you find them, then you got to take claim to them. So if he is glorifying his Father, why aren't you? Why aren't you glorifying his Father? You say it's your Father. You say, Father, Father, my Abba Father. Why aren't you glorifying him? In the workplace, why aren't you glorifying him? In your home, why aren't you glorifying him? In the church, why aren't you glorifying him? It's time for you to understand your rights, understand your privileges, and then start laying claim to them. But I warn you, let me warn you, there is one solid stipulation to that promise, and it isn't fasting. That's an awesome tool that we must use, but it isn't fasting that I'm speaking of right now, and it isn't praying. And we know that's the ultimate tool that we have to use, but that's not what I'm speaking about right now. And it isn't sacrificial giving. Oh, what a tool that we have to rely on. But what I'm talking about right now that I want to warn you about, once you understand your rights and privileges, once you start claiming them, the one stipulation to that promise is you've got to start believing it. You've got to start believing it. You see, many times we want to, we search it out, and then we claim it, but we don't truly believe it. We don't truly believe it. So we start trying to fast. We start praying. We start doing sacrificial giving. But we really don't have the belief in our heart. And then we look at ourselves and we see that, whoa, you know, my life is really messed up. I got some things, serious issues going on in different areas here. Every time I put a patch on one end, something else is leaking. Every time I get my mind wrapped around one situation, now my body's failing. Every time I get my strength together, now my finances is whack. Every time I get my finances together, now my spouse is acting up. My kids is acting up. The dog won't act right. The goldfish died. Hallelujah. Someone told me the other day, said my kindergartner has gotten kicked out of kindergarten 3 times this year. He said, I got serious issues. I'm doing a self-examination, and I'm saying some things. And this is not of Christ. I've got to do something. God, look at me. And then you dawn and you think, and it just dawns on you, and you think about it. After you search the scriptures and you look at it and you say, you know what? I know what's holding me back. The devil's taking my blessings because I'm letting him. Why am I letting him? It's a lack of knowledge about what God said that you could have. See, the devil will start working up a storm, putting sickness, putting diseases on your body, splitting up your marriages, splitting up the relationship with you and your kids. Hallelujah. Yet God said that by Jesus' stripes, you are healed. I like the report a lot better. By Jesus' stripes, we're healed. Well, Jesus wants us to get it. But the devil's going to scream at you, you can't have it. Then he tries to pull you away from your healing and destroy you. But thank God that Satan is under your feet. Because Jesus put him there, under your feet. So why are you trying to let him up? Why are you trying to free him? Why are you just saying it's okay when I slip in this hotel room? It's okay that I'm going to be unfaithful here. It's okay I'm going in the courtroom and I'm going to lie. It's okay that I'm just going to decide that, you know what, I'm just going to break my marriage vows by cheating. You know what? Then I'm just going to come back and ask for forgiveness, and then there's no consequences to it. I'm just going to jump back into it, and I'm just going to keep going. You are letting the devil up. God has put him under your feet. Why are you pulling on him? You got your little foot right on his neck. You're supposed to be stepping entirely on him. That's where God put him at. Stop reaching down there, pulling, trying to pull him up. Because you're comfortable. You've got so comfortable in your sin. So the first time that something goes wrong, or you hear that somebody has done you wrong, instead of you dealing with it and moving forward to see where God wants to take you at now, it's easier for you to just turn around like a little inchworm and just worm yourself back into that situation with that person. Because that's what you're used to. That's your comfort zone. You, at least I'm still with him. At least I have a man. At least I'm still with the job. And God is trying to kick you, push you, pull you out of that situation to bring you over to the promised land that he has promised you. But you're holding on. And God is telling you, I have put the enemy under your feet. But you're digging. You're breaking nails and everything trying to dig him out because you've got so used to living that way. So the enemy is telling you, you can't get rid of me. You can't have peace. You can't have a wonderful marriage. You can't have someone that will love you and never cheat on you. You can't have the job and have peace on that job. Hallelujah. Hear the word of the Lord. You have the right. Oh, you've got to get this series. You have the right. Hallelujah. 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 Just say thank you, Jesus. Just praising him. That's what I mean when I say hallelujah. I just want to praise him. I want to thank him for the opportunities that he's showing me, that he's given to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. So when the devil screams at you, just listen from your heart as the Lord is screaming louder. And he's making a way, and he's opening up doors. But you've got to be willing to move forward. You've got to be willing to walk by faith and not by sight. Because if you look at the situation that's before you, that you're in right now, you just worm yourself right on back into the situation. And so I just sit here, I'll have a pity party. And every time that you do me wrong again, I'll just remember, but how could you do that? I stayed here with you. You said you weren't going to beat me down again. But you promised me I was going to get that promotion. And how are you giving it away again? You've got to walk by faith, knowing that God has something else for you. He's brought it to your sight. Out of the darkness that it was in for so long, he's brought it to your sight for a reason. Because he has something else for you. And don't worry about trying to figure out how all the pieces is going to fit together to make it all right and whole again. That's not your business. Your business is to rely on your Creator. And he will work it out. Because remember, you have the right. Your vision, your purpose is to get in there and study and find the scriptures that's going to take you to the answer that he's prepared for you. It's already prepared just for you. Just for you. Hallelujah. So thank God that Satan is under your feet where Jesus has put him. And don't let him up. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I wonder why so many Christians glorify the name of Satan. They say, well, you know, Satan destroyed us. Well, you know, it's just Satan. He's just running wild. Well, you know, Satan hinders us. You know, the devil made me do it. You know, Satan took grandma. I don't want to hear anything about Satan. Talk to me about what God has done for you. Don't glorify the devil just because your husband is beating you up and you can't seem to get him saved. Just go to the Father and glorify him. The Father Jesus, hallelujah, our Father Jesus, he's already delegated all of his authority to us. In John chapter 14, he delegated all of his authority to us. In John 14. And you see that I am seated in heavenly places with you, Father. This is how you're speaking to your Father. You say that I'm seated in heavenly places with you. Therefore, I take authority over the situation that I'm in right now. Right now. See, people We as people have been fighting for years and centuries when all they need to do is take a stand. Take a stand. When you stand in faith and you stand in patience, don't be so quick to jump up and try to fix the situation. But if you stand in faith and you stand in patience, the Bible says you inherit the promises of God. It said you will inherit, and that usually gets everybody's attention to know that, oh, I'm going to inherit something. You will inherit the promises of God. Sometimes I think God must wonder why his kids don't just pray out of their hearts instead of praying out of their heads and cross it with Jesus' name. See, then the devil would know who they are in him. Instead, most people just, they have Satan on the front pew of the churches. They give him place. They make room for him. When the Bible commands us not to give the devil place in our life. Maybe we need to review back over that. That's in Ephesians 4:27. And it tells us that we're not to give the devil a place in our hearts or in our lives. Hallelujah. Open up your Bibles. Take a moment. I know we're running close over time, but we'll make this a part two so we can get it finished if we don't finish it tonight. God is still God, and his word is changing your life. So 4:27 of Ephesians. Ephesians is in the New Testament, okay? And if you've got to Galatians, then continue to go down a little bit. We're going to the right, and you're running to Ephesians. And then we're just going to go to the fourth chapter, verse 27, and it reads, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. So do not give place to the devil. 26 tells us that, just speaking about another thing that the people say when we say that, oh, the devil made me do this, or, oh, yes, I was angry and God got angry. And, you know, Jesus was angry. But you got to understand, first of all, what he was angry about. Are you angry because someone is not saving souls? They're not out there trying to give the word? They're not trying to glorify the Father? Is that your reason for anger? Okay, all anger is still not bad, even if that's not your reason for your anger. But we forget right here in Ephesians 4:26. Be ye angry and not sin. And not sin. Don't sin in your anger. Big difference. Do not sin in your anger. When you're angry and you're thinking about blowing somebody's head off, when your anger allows you to go out and purposely premeditate another sin to top the sin that was done to you, then you're in violation of the law of the word. So if you're doing that, you should stop right now and say, God, forgive me because I have been, come on, repeat it, in violation of the word of God. It says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And neither give place to the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, someone has been convicted right now, whether you want to, you're feeling that pain, you're feeling that hurt, and you're getting angry right now just to hear the words because you know it pertains to you. And so many people have told you that, and you hide behind all kind of faces and faces. But let's just go ahead and reveal it like it is. You're in violation, my sister, my brother, of the word of God. Hallelujah. As we continue on with the word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Be blessed, my sister. Be blessed, my brother. Believe what it is that God has for you. Believe what it is that you can do. Believe as you take a stance in faith and patience that you will inherit the promises of God. So pray with your heart and cover it with the name of Jesus. Don't pray with your head. If you pray with your heart, then the devil will know who it is that who you are. Hallelujah. Don't make place for the devil in your life. Sometimes we get so sidetracked with what Satan is trying to pull that we forget that Jesus told us to ask anything in his name. And what? He'll do it. I asked the Lord that once. Was it really anything? And of course he said, yeah, it's anything. But it's hard for us to comprehend that really anything, if we're living right, if we're taking our stand, if we're not allowing and giving the enemy space and place in our lives, that if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And God is not a liar. He is not one that he should lie. Hallelujah. You said, but, you know, some of these things are big things, but God said, I'm a big God. I'm a big God. You got to believe God for the things that you're asking him for. If you're hoping for it, and think that I might swing some Holy Ghost wand and then you just have it, it's not going to happen. You haven't claimed it. See, God is saying to us that the warehouses that he has for us is still full because we, as his children, we've asked. But we haven't believed that we were going to receive it. We haven't claimed it. So we haven't really actually picked up all the things that he has given to us. Hallelujah. That's an amazing statement, but it's true. Hallelujah. But it's true. Have you ever gone into a jewelry store and noticed that, you know, it could be full of silver and gold? And you know the Lord says that all the silver and the gold is yours. So if it's something that you're desiring and you're working towards, don't ever stop yourself and say, that's beyond my reach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He created it for us. Work for it. Take a stand. Believe it. Hallelujah. So you need to get a revelation. Hallelujah. Because many times, God created these things for us. He created health. He created wealth. He created our healing. He created our comfort. He created our peace beyond anyone's understanding. And we're running around trying to buy all of these different things to dress up the outer man, the outer woman, when he's already created it. So the person that you're running to is just selling you something that you already own. You already own. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no excuse for spiritual weakness and poverty in the family of God when the wealth of heaven is ours. You're not supposed to come to God like a tramp. You got to go into him legally as a son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you're not a tramp. Most churches have a kind of a tramp attitude with God. Now, Lord, you know my shoes are bad and we don't have anything. The devil took it all away from us. You ever heard that? Don't come to the Lord like Freddy the Freeloader. You won't impress God by acting like one. Remember the story of the prodigal son? The elder brother had a trap attitude, didn't he? He was as much a son as the prodigal, but he had a servant attitude. He owned everything his father had, but he whined. You won't even give me a goat to have a party with my friends. Wasn't that his whine? You remember that? His daddy just looked at him. He said, what's the matter with you? Don't you know everything I got is yours? Listen, do you know why he never took a goat or a cow? Because he didn't know his rights and his privileges in the family. Yet he had the audacity to walk out of the party. His daddy loved him so much that he followed him outside to try to talk sense into him. How many times have you and I acted that way towards God? If someone isn't saved, he's a slave. The Bible says that you're either a child of God or a child of the devil. So what do you get if you're a child of God? All power. What do you mean? Nobody has all power except God. Is that what you're asking? Really? Let's look at Matthew 28:18. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Okay, you say, well, sure, all power has been given to Jesus, but it hasn't been given to us. So hold on to your religious spirit and look at the first chapter of Ephesians, beginning in verse 17. It says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. That's you and me he's praying for. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's us. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities, far above all powers and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. See, something that's coming. You know that, right? And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians 1:17-23. Wait, don't stop reading now. Let's drop down to the next chapter and look at verse 6. And has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians 2:6. I want to make sure you get this. The day God raised Jesus out of the pit of hell, he raised you too. And he raised me. And he set us right beside Jesus, far, far above every devil and demon. Not only that, but he gave you and me power of authority to use Jesus' name. Because our eyes have been enlightened to understand the word of God. That's what we just read, right? See, you are a citizen of heaven. Happened? Who just happened to be living on earth. No demons from hell has the right or the authority to bring any of Satan's curses to you. Hallelujah. You weren't bought by the devil. You were bought by Jesus Christ. You're sitting with him in heavenly places. You said, but Evangelist Vine, so you're saying that I'm sitting with Jesus in heavenly places, but I'm not seated in heaven. I'm right here on earth reading, right here listening to you. Your physical body may be seated here, but your spiritual authority, someone say the word with me, authority, your spiritual authority is seated with Jesus in heavenly places. All you have to do is claim it. Claim your right. Claim your right. What do you have the right to claim? Eternal life. What do you have the right to claim? A home in heaven. You have the right to claim God's protective care. You have the right to claim victory over sin. You have the right to claim in the dwelling of the Holy Spirit, to claim divine health before you're sick and need to be healed. You have the right to claim prosperity. You have the right to be translated into the rapture. Hallelujah. Claim it. You have the right to live with the Father through eternity. Claim it. And every other promise in this book, from Genesis to Revelation, you have the right to claim. One of our rights is liberty, and not just the liberty guaranteed in the Constitution. The 2 Corinthians 3 and 17 promises. It says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Woo! Thank you, Jesus, for liberty. You've been liberated from sin. Thank you, Jesus. See, in our closing, one of our liberties is freedom from sin. Romans 6:14 promises, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law but under grace. So you said that pornography is just, you know, just weighing down. I can't get from under it. For sin, tell yourself, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Yet churches have preached that you're a sinner, saved by grace. I'm just an old sinner. No, if you're born again, you're not an old sinner. The Bible says that sin will not have dominion over you. The word sin and Satan are synonymous. If you call yourself an old sinner, you're actually saying, Satan has dominion over me. If you're sinning every day, you've got a sin problem. And you better get to the altar and make Jesus the Lord of your life. Indeed, not just in word. Romans 6:15 and 16 says it this way. He says, what then shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace. God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey? You know not who you rendering yourself as servants to obey. His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience into righteousness. But you are rendering yourself as a servant to obey. Which will you choose? Whether it is sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Now, if you've given your life to Jesus, the righteousness of God has been imparted to you. Why? Because through Jesus you received God's nature. Sin and the dominion Satan cannot have authority over you because Jesus is your Lord. It's time for the church to wake up and do what God sent us here to do. And so we can go home. Listen, you don't have a trailer up there in heaven. It's not a two-bit shack. Bless God. You've got a mansion sitting alongside a 24-karat gold street. Let's do what God has put us here to do so we can go home. That home is your right and your privilege. you can have a nice home here too, if you're willing to believe God for it and claim it. Hallelujah. I preach the word of God in power and authority. Why I was waiting for anything in my life, I just simply learned that I have the right to do and use his authority in all areas of my life. Hallelujah. Then I learned that I have the right for my body to line up with the word of God that says I'm healed. Jesus said that sick, sin, and diseases will not have dominion over me. And just tell yourself that. He said it won't have dominion over you either. People need to learn to take preventive medicine every day through the word of God. The Bible says it is health to your flesh. The word of God is health to your flesh. It also says that a merry heart does good like medicine. You need to learn to laugh. What if there isn't anything to laugh about? Sit down and look in the mirror. If you sit there long enough, something will strike you funny. Hallelujah. Oh, we're closing. As a believer, just remember that you should have to try faith. You shouldn't have to try faith. Just exercise your rights as a member of the body of Christ. You have a right to anything in the Bible. It's amazing to me how many times with all the power and authority we've been given, the body of Christ is beat down and destroyed. There's no excuse for that, saints. I'm just suffering these things because God is trying to show me something. That's what we say, huh? Yeah, he's trying to show you something. He's showing you how to live in the word of God and claim your rights as a citizen of heaven. Those rights are blood bought. Jesus suffered and died to give you the rights of our new covenant. And he has raised you up with Jesus and seated you in heavenly places. He has given you his name, his blood, his authority, his power, and his spirit. He has given you his rights and his privileges. Please don't wait another moment. Claim them today. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, repeat after me. Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sin. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I believe you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. I want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. And I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on the cross. And I receive you as my Savior and Lord. In your name I pray, amen. Please let me know of your decisions to follow God. You can reach me again at walkwithmegod@aol.com. We love you. God bless you and keep you. Until we meet again, you have the right. Claim it.
Me, Lord, consecrate me, Lord. Oh, consecrate me to do thy will, thy will, thy will. Wanna do thy will. This is a flowing ministry tonight. It ain't about no who's who and who you are and where you come from. Tonight is a night of surrendering. Oh, come on, somebody open up your mouth and say, consecrate me, Lord. Consecrate me, Lord. Hallelujah. Me to do thy will, thy will, thy will. Consecrate me.
Hallelujah. Consecrate me, Lord. Consecrate me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Don't forget, you have a right. Just search for your scriptures right, your scriptural bill of rights, and then just name it and claim it. Make sure you lay claim to what's yours. We love you. God bless you. This is Evangelist Von Dumas, and I smile out tonight, and I thank you, Jesus, for your love. Have a great day. God bless you.